This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. The Buffaloes visiting Autzen Stadium tonight. We'll have the pregame coverage starting right at 3 when we sign off as Oregon hosting Colorado. Right now that spread is 21.5, depending on what book you're looking at. So we're going to talk with Brian Howell, who covers the Colorado Buffaloes for the Boulder Daily Camera. He's on Twitter at BrianHowell33. And he joins us now. Brian, thanks so much for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. I appreciate it. I'll start with the big question I think Duck fan has. Is Laviska Shenault going to play tonight?
That's the biggest question that Buff fans have as well. I don't know the answer to that. I know he did make the trip, so that's a good sign. You know, obviously, they limit that roster, how many people they can bring on the trip. So I think it's a good sign that they brought him on the trip. That means they think he could play. So. He went through warm-ups last week and then did not play. So, honestly, I think we got to wait till that first offensive play to see if Laviska's going to play or not.
Yeah, see if he steps out on the field. You know, watching Colorado this year from afar and seeing chunks of their games here and there, I feel like you can identify a football team that's pretty solid on the offensive side, even with the Shenault injury, but struggles a little bit defensively. Is that a fair assessment, and how you feel about Colorado this far into the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, offensively, I mean, Laviska's really not had a great season. It's not all his fault. I mean, he was double covered so much early on that his numbers just aren't there right now. So other guys have stepped up. They played really well offensively, and Steven Montez has been really good this year. And then defensively, until last week against Arizona, they had been much better in the second half of every single game. Had given up a lot of points and yards first half, made great adjustments, played really well second half. Last week, not so much. It was Arizona had a pretty good second half against them, but that defense is struggling. They've got a lot of injuries on that side of the ball. There's a lot of true freshmen that are getting on the field at this point in the year. But I mean, this is a program that's obviously still building and had a lot of holes to fill on the defensive side that Mel Tucker will hopefully fill over the next couple of years. But right now, I think that's a group that's going to probably struggle throughout the year.
Yeah. Brian Howell is our guest. He covers the Colorado Buffaloes. They get ready to take on Oregon tonight, 7 o'clock FS1. He's on Twitter at BrianHowell33. And obviously you catch the game here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Look, that spread's 21.5, Brian. If you had to lay a bet on which direction would you go? Would you go Colorado with all those points, or do you think Oregon is going to comfortably cover it given what you just said about the defense?
Well, see, I like to be a little more optimistic, so I would take Colorado on the points. But the matchup on paper does not look good at all. I mean, you look at the injuries that CU's got on the defensive side, and their number two cornerback right now is a true freshman that before last Saturday had two career snaps. Their number three corner is a true freshman that was a receiver until the weekend of fall camp, and he has not played a snap of college football yet. So that's what they've got trying to cover receivers tonight.
Yeah,
when you look at that and you look at the fact that, you know, they've got some injuries on the defensive line and leaning on true freshmen there, on paper it just looks like a really bad matchup for Colorado. So I think it's a tough bet because of all those things.
Yeah, Brian, I love that answer, but you're really making me think Oregon's going to just destroy him tonight. Right now,
I know. That's what I'm saying. It sounds on paper like, geez, if Justin Herbert doesn't throw for 800 yards and 12 touchdowns, it's a bad game for him. But, it just looks like a bad matchup.
Yeah, we saw Khalil Tate go off on that defense last week, too. I think he had 400-plus yards. But Colorado can sling it, and they can move the football on their own right. You mentioned the numbers not there for Shenault and double coverage and injuries having something to do with it. But how has the offense played this year up to expectations and look week in and week out?
I think they're pretty well. I think other than the fact that we all thought LaVisca was going to be the star, and it's been Tony Brown instead. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you take the names away from it, I mean, you've got a star receiver, and that's what we expected this year. It just happened to be Tony Brown and not LaVisca. So I think offensively, I mean, they're scoring a lot of points, and I mean, they're a little inconsistent, but, I mean, you end up putting up over 30 points a game almost every week, so you'll take that most weeks. So, you know, I think offensively, they're pretty solid. You know, if they've had one game against Air Force where they didn't really play that well offensively, but other than that, they've been pretty solid. So I don't think you can complain too much about that offense.
Yeah. Brian Howe is our guest. He covers the Colorado Buffaloes. He's on Twitter, at BrianHowe33, as the Buffs are in Eugene to take on the Ducks tonight, 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage here on The Fan starts at 3. How would you classify you mentioned all these injuries. It's always tough. But how would you classify Mel Tucker's first year with Colorado, and how does the fan base feel about him as the head coach thus far, even though we're only a few games in?
I think the fans love him. I think the players love him. I mean, he's a guy that's come in and really kind of changed the mindset of the program within, and the players really like him. I mean, he's a tough-nosed coach, but you know, he's a player's coach, and that doesn't mean that he's easy on him, but they really like his approach, and the fans have really taken to him. Got a great personality, and so I would say, even though, you know, there's a couple games right now that you would say they probably should have or could have won and that they didn't, I think you'd have to look at it and say it's been a success right now.
Yeah, it's a slow progress, no doubt, whenever you're trying to get a program to where you want it to go. You mentioned, you know, not having a lot of depth and a lot of young guys having to play, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know how closely you follow recruiting, but I'm just curious if they've seen a major uptick getting a guy from SEC country, a well-known dude, you know, out of Georgia and Alabama. Have they seen an uptick in the recruiting path?
I haven't seen a major one. I think that even Mel, when I talked to him over the summer, said, I mean, they've got their ways they want to recruit, but he said, hey, I know that winning football games is what's going to get guys here, and they've got to have a good season. I think getting to a bowl game, we'll see a lot of you know, uptick there. I mean, they just had a guy decommit the other day, but they also had two commits earlier this week. So I don't think it's been like they're not raking in four stars or anything like that. But one thing we have seen is that their recruiting footprint has really expanded. I mean, under Mike McIntyre, it was pretty much Colorado, California, Texas, and then maybe a couple guys here and there. Well, Mel Tucker is sticking with those three states, but he's going all over the place and using his roots and his stash roots in Louisiana and Georgia and Florida and places like that. So I think we're seeing players that are coming from a wider footprint.
Yeah, I saw the Brian, I saw the attendance at that Colorado Nebraska game, because that was a big one, and I you know, I grew up watching that rivalry, and I liked watching those two teams go against each other. And there was so much red in those stands. I know there's a lot of strong, diehard Buff fans out there. Do you feel like they haven't enjoyed going to the Pac-12, that they still largely identify more with the Big 12 as a fan base?
No, I think they love the Pac-12, but I think they really miss that Nebraska game. I mean, I don't think there's really a whole lot of other games in the Big 12 they miss, but that one was one that, especially the last, you know, 10, 15 years of that rivalry, was just so much fun. And I think they miss Nebraska, but fans like going to Eugene and Seattle and, you know, L.A. instead of Ames, Iowa, and Lawrence, Kansas, places like that. So, yeah, I think all in all, fans love the Pac-12. It's just that it's that one game that, boy, they miss it. Because the thing that Colorado's missing right now is a rival. And they, right. I mean, the Pac-12 tries to manufacture that. And obviously, Oregon has Oregon State. You know, when Colorado and Utah joined the Pac-12, they said, look, you guys are rivals. And they just, you know, they don't hate each other. And there's right. nothing really there to rival with those, other than they're paired up on basketball weekends and things like that. So it's just not there. So they missed Nebraska.
Yeah, no doubt. Everybody misses watching that game. Day after Thanksgiving, it was fun to see it the last couple of years. And both of them were really good games as well. That was a crazy comeback this year. You mentioned some of the trips around the city and just the conference being a fun one. What has surprised you the most, I guess? I mean, Pac-12 play, Colorado's a couple of plays away from being 5-0, which is wild to think about. Maybe they're a couple of plays away from being, you know, 2-3 and losing that Nebraska game or losing the ASU game. What surprised you the most this year in the conference?
Everything. I mean, it's a wild conference. And, I mean, week in and week out, I think there's a game almost every single weekend. And you're like, wow, I never saw that coming. And, I mean, the biggest surprise, obviously, was that UCLA-Washington State game, which – really came out of nowhere. And you look at UCLA every other week, and they've been dreadful. I don't know how for 19 minutes they were unbelievable. But, yeah, that was probably the biggest thing. But it's just still been it's been so unpredictable. And, you know, I think that, you know, Oregon, I expected to be on top. You know, Utah has been pretty good. Arizona's maybe been a little bit of a surprise with the way they've played so far. And I didn't think they would win in Boulder last week, but they played well. So, you know, Washington being down is a little bit of a surprise.
Absolutely. Brian Howe covers the Colorado Buffaloes. He's on Twitter at BrianHowe33. Give him a follow for all things Buffs as they get ready to take on the Oregon Ducks tonight in Eugene. Brian, thank you so much for the time, man. Great insight, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.